Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Fred McRae back again with the Chicagoan View from the Pacific. Today we're going to be talking about, again, the Microsoft purchase of LinkedIn. What's it mean? How do you feel about it? What's the good? What's the bad? We're hoping to hear from our happy co-host, Mary Erlane. Mary was in the car and working on getting back to a place she can talk to us, so hopefully she'll make it while we've got time on the air. If you got questions, you got comments, you got thoughts, you can dial us in at 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. We're broadcasting from the headquarters of Mediavine Marketing overlooking the Pacific Ocean on the central coast of California in our beautiful Shell Beach Road, Pismo Beach. Headquarters. It's a beautiful day out, and while it started out really foggy, the sun's come out, burnt away the fog, and the Pacific just looks awesome. So, in the news, there's been a lot in the news, both outside of business and in business, but today we're going to keep it in the business and social media area. And one question that we hope to look in on is who's going to win the messaging wars, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Google? Facebook's WhatsApp is the most widely used mobile messaging service in the world. The app has a monthly active users that topped 1 billion in February. And Messenger, Facebook Messenger, is actually cracked 900 million monthly active users, and there are more people using Messenger services than are actually using SMS. So, which do you use? Do you use Google? Do you use Facebook? Do you use Microsoft? I myself actually, I use all three. I use Skype. I was on a Skype call with a client earlier today. I have some clients I use Messenger with, and I am a long-term fan of Google Voice or Google Hangouts, whichever end of it that you want to use. So what do you like? I find Skype, honestly, is best if I'm doing a large number of people on a call and want to have both video and the chat capability. Messenger is much better for talks with people that I don't have time to, or they don't have time to talk with. And I've actually just started to use WhatsApp. So if you had a comment on it, give a shout, 323-580-5755. So what is your favorite chat, or are you old school and hate chat and just want to talk to people? Again, give us a call, 323-580-5755. Another topic in the social media news. Did you know that Facebook is changing the way your profile is laid out? Yes, it is. What they decided to do is they are now in your intro section of your profile, which sits at the top part of your page. They've tweaked it so that now your extended education and employment history will appear in the intro section of your profile. And some of the initial response has been unhappiness because they people just didn't want it, I guess, that part of their lives advertised. Somebody like me, where I got into Facebook more because of what we do as a marketing company then, because I felt the need to hang out with friends there. So for me, having the education and the employment history at the top is actually why I'm here. So that doesn't bother me as much. However, some of my friends would, I guess you could say, do have time to blow on Facebook, they're not happy with it. Of course, some of these people are also people who used to play Farmville. You ever play Farmville? Give a shot if you did. Oh, I know. Are you playing Farmville too? So, as we continue onward, Microsoft's purchase of LinkedIn, that's been an ongoing topic. My initial feeling was that I wasn't happy about it. I've had a love-hate relationship with Microsoft for, three decades now. And my initial thought was, I'm not happy about it. That said, I had an episode or an incident with LinkedIn this week that made me reassess it, assess my views. Since today's topic was about Microsoft and LinkedIn, I had posted a Pulse post on the topic, and I had included a logo of both Microsoft and LinkedIn since I was talking about it. And I thought, okay, we'll add this in. And a funny thing happened was about 3 hours after I posted it, I started to get feedback from people that my profile wasn't there. It was gone. I had literally disappeared, and I started to freak out. I went to Google. There was nothing on the profile that said I'd done anything wrong. I could accept people in groups. I could post things, but no one could see anything I did. And given that I've been involved in LinkedIn since about 2003, this really freaked me out. So I put in a tech support message saying, help me, my profile's gone. No one can see me. I'm invisible. And I kept watching the screen, and 1 hour went by, and 2 hours went by, and 5 hours went by, and I'm still kind of freaked out because I knew I had events to go to, and my LinkedIn profile, I'm one of those people who believes in putting the LinkedIn profile on my business card, so I knew that anybody I met, if they went to check me on the profile, they'd get nada. So I was just really kind of freaked. So Wednesday morning rolled around, and I went back to look in the tech support area of LinkedIn. Nothing. Now, other than the, yes, we've received your message, please wait till we get back to your message, I saw nothing. I kept racking my brain for what I could have done to have annoyed the LinkedIn system, and I kept coming up with nothing. I hadn't done anything out of the ordinary. So finally, last night, just about 24 hours later, I was at an event really freaking out that I'd given out a couple of cards with my LinkedIn profile and no way to find me, and I looked on my LinkedIn mobile app. And sure enough, I've gotten a couple of new invites in and a couple of comments. So I knew from my mobile app that I was up again. And so I finally started my evening shift of work, getting stuff done, and I checked. And sure enough, somebody had taken a look at it, escalated me to the safety department, who looked at it and said that it appears that usually that what happened to me was because somebody had uploaded some pictures that were unacceptable. Now, according to what I was told, normally it's because it's adult oriented or espouses a radical viewpoint, something like that. But that they had removed the restriction on me and that I was fine. And so I emailed them back and I said, well, could this have caused it? If possible, I'm happy to take the images down. And they said, well, yeah, it's possible, you know, if you don't own the rights to the content. So word to the wise, don't upload if you're doing a pulse post, don't upload a graphic of the Microsoft logo or LinkedIn logo. Now, where all this story comes back to is in the years I've dealt with Microsoft, I've always had a phone number that I could call into, and you may have to wait on the phone, but you always got fast tech support from Microsoft. That's one of the things they've been good at was making sure that they got back to people one way or another. And honestly, that's something that I would really love to see Microsoft bring to LinkedIn is its ethos of trying to quickly resolve client issues. It's with Microsoft, they're all the times I've worked with them, they've always done their best to get something resolved as soon as possible. And as they built Microsoft stores, and I've worked with some of them, you can go in there with an issue, and a lot of times they'll attempt to fix it for free. So one of my top wishes for Microsoft and LinkedIn is that Microsoft will bring a better tech support mentality. As I've gone down this vein, I've also come to the conclusion that since I've been involved in using LinkedIn and it's got a lot of great things you can do with it, LinkedIn has pulled out a whole lot of features. My favorite useless one was the book reading list. And people used to look at me when I'd say, I liked it. And I guess it was one of those things of the first time I realized that there were people actually following my to-read list, and I had no clue who they are, but they thought it was important enough to follow my list. Yeah, I kind of fell in love with the list then. And that was one of those things that I was sad to see go. One of the things I actually really did like that was useful was the ability to post events. The analytics you used to get on the groups, the much better ability to interact, the polls within groups, a large number of things like that I and others that I spoke to always found benefit with that over the years because LinkedIn and their infinite wisdom decided to pull them. That honestly I kind of miss. And when I look at Microsoft's history, from time to time Microsoft has taken features away or functionality away. They've end-of-life products like XP, which I still like XP. Microsoft has been very, very good at instead of reducing the number of features or benefits to a product, rather they've been the ones that were liked and then improved upon them and increased the features and benefits. So that type of mentality that Microsoft's got, I'd like to see that infused in LinkedIn. That to me, the desire to take care of client issues as well as to improve the product and give you more functionality, those are two big things. So it's 3:15. If you've got a comment, question, or thought, topic of the day is the Microsoft purchase of LinkedIn. You can call in at 323-580-5755 and give your thoughts. So, other things on the Microsoft purchase of LinkedIn. I guess the one thing that I'm not sure I like the idea or not is Microsoft, for a long time, had brought Microsoft certifications. I, at one point, was a Microsoft certified systems engineer. As far as I know, I still am, because I was in one of the last lifetime certification areas. In some ways, I think a certified LinkedIn trainer certification would be, I think, a real boon. I've seen a whole lot of people that were trying to use LinkedIn to find jobs, couldn't find a job, so they became LinkedIn trainers, which if you're trying to find a job on LinkedIn and you can't, then I'm not quite sure how you become a LinkedIn trainer. But okay. So certifications, LinkedIn certifications, I'm leaning toward that is a good idea that I think Microsoft could bring, but I'm still contemplating that one. On the negative side, and this is where it gets easier, well, on the positive side, I wouldn't mind seeing the LinkedIn utility that I used to be able to use on Microsoft Outlook. I'd like to see that one brought back. I'm not sure how much I like the idea of Microsoft having access to all of my LinkedIn contacts. There's something about that that almost feels kind of creepy, because it wouldn't surprise me to see, well, I still get emails about Microsoft Dynamics or Visual Basic or, you know, various Microsoft tools and software packages I've used or consulted upon in the past. So I'm not sure if I really want that to be opened up to everybody and get bombarded by Microsoft and Microsoft partners sending me stuff about all the Microsoft products. On the other hand, it would be kind of nice to see what they could do to integrate Outlook, LinkedIn, and Skype into one and give it a unified LinkedIn platform, or LinkedIn, I guess, CRM communication platform. That would actually be kind of cool. What do you think? What are your thoughts? 323-580-5755. It's a... It's a hard question. It's something we're going to have to live with if you deal with social media or professional networking. It's something that we got to deal with. Now, on the other hand, when I look at the big tech players, you've got Microsoft, you've got Google. Yahoo doesn't know what to do with itself. It's bound and determined it's going to fail. So we'll leave Yahoo out of it. So you got Microsoft, you've got LinkedIn, you got Microsoft, you've got Facebook, you've got Google, you've got Apple. And it always used to be the Microsoft Google face off between Bing and Google, and I've been told that Bing stands for because it's not Google. And then you had Microsoft and you had Apple duking it out for operating systems. And you've had Apple and Google duking it out over phone systems. And yet now we see the Google Android operating system going more and more toward fighting with Windows and Apple. And Facebook is, as Facebook pushes more and more into search, Facebook has the obviously, as I said earlier, has the largest number of users for or monthly active users for its two WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, and almost 2 billion monthly active users. So how does this acquisition affect Apple? How does it affect Google? Because at this point, you've got Google and Facebook in the search war. You've got Apple and Google in the phone war. You've got Apple and Microsoft and now Google and the operating system war. Now Google or now Facebook has gone and picked up this huge social media network. That just leaves Apple and Google, amazingly enough, without, shall we say, waving supporters. I still go on Google Plus every day, but even I got to acknowledge Google's not sure what they're doing with it. They don't know if it's Google Plus or Google Local or Google Local Plus, Google Local Plus or Google Maps or Google Street View or some mishmash of all those, and this is after Google Buzz. So Google's been having a real hard time getting into social, and yet to survive, I believe they have to. What did they do? Is a Google-Twitter merger on the way? That would be my thought, given that Google has started to index tweets, but even a Google-Twitter merger, does that give Google a strong enough social media punch, or are they hurting? So how does this play out? And this is a topic we're hoping to explore over the next couple of weeks, is without the handful of big tech players, how does this fight continue on? Do the telecoms come into this? Word has been that one of the big telecoms was looking at buying a good chunk of Yahoo because they wanted the content production. Amazon and Google are more and more going up and headbutting. So does Amazon start to move into social media? It should be a real interesting next couple of years. So if you've got a shout-out to a business, give a call, 323-580-5755. One thing I did want to talk to you about is Google's Rank Brain, RANKBRAIN. Last year, Rank Brain was used by Google for less than 15% of the queries it processed. Now, Rank Brain is a machine learning system that they can process every query that the search engine handles. And it's Google has become so confident of it that they're saying that the vast majority of searches or queries that the search engine handles, Rank Brain is involved. Now, that's more than 2 trillion searches per year. That's trillion with a TR. So that's pretty incredible. The tool, as is believed, it seems to be a query refinement tool. So Google is better able to understand and put out search results for what you're looking for. Also seems to leave more of the ranking signals. If you're dealt any with SEO, then you know that there were, at least over the last couple of years, somewhere between 200 and 500 potential factors in how Google ranks your website. And now that the Rank Brain is used more and more, this should make it even more complex for SEO folks to help your site. So Don't want to depress you there. Don't want to tell you you got to go out and learn all about rank brain. What I will tell you is that really good content that engages the users, keeps them on your website, and gets them to share, along with links to your site from other places, those will always be winning factors. Those will always help you win the battle of search wars. So watch more for about RankBrain, and we'll be talking to you about it more as we can do more research and study on it. And this topic we'll keep visiting. Last question. You're an individual company. You're a unique company. You don't have anybody, you have competitors, however, you are your own individual brand. How is that different from franchisees? Any given franchise, a McDonald's, a Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, franchises have their own unique, they have their own unique issues in that much of their brand credibility, much of their marketing is based out of the corporate headquarters, but it's a one-size-fits-all approach. So the individual company doesn't have this issue. They have the fact that they have to come up with all their own content, whereas the franchisee has the issue of they've got corporate providing content. What do they need to do in order to improve their social media audience? Well, our research has come up is that franchisees need to localize and personalize their presence. This doesn't mean abandoning the corporate marketing, but it means adding onto it with the uniqueness of their own experience, their community, and what their potential clients find useful and interesting. So if you're in an area that's got a large number of dog lovers, then your marketing needs to be somewhat localized to them. If you're in a area that does not have beaches, like most of the U.S. is, then having the beach forecast is probably not a good idea. So, to close that topic up, for franchisees listening, you need to localize and personalize your digital presence and integrate your marketing so that those factors come out, because after all, you make the franchise work. This is Fred McMurray. I'm with the Chicago and View from the Pacific. We broadcast at 3 p.m. from 3 to 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on Thursdays. You can always dial in with your questions, comments, or ideas. And we hopefully will have Mary Erling, author of 10 Answer Keys, Commuting with 5 Generations in the Workplace, back next week. So in the meantime, make it a great day and be good to others.